Let us take a moment and pray, and then we'll move forward in the word of God. Father God, we come now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we come thanking you for your grace and for your mercy. God, we thank you for your loving kindness with which you have drawn us. God, we pray today that the word will go out, and it will go out and build the faith of your people. God, your word says in Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we pray now, God, as the word goes out, our faith will be built up in you. And God, I just ask you now, God, to allow what you have placed inside of me, that you will empty me of me, fill me with you, so that your people will be filled with your word. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and we give you thanks. Amen. We are so, hallelujah. Yes, we are so grateful today to be here in worship with Gateway Family Church. We feel like we are part of family today. Amen. It is truly an honor to be here. God bless Pastor Gabriel, Sister Perry. We're so grateful for you guys and how kind you've been to us. I'm thankful for my wife. She is indeed the love of my life. I'm telling you, man, I'm overly blessed. The Bible says that that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And Sister Jennifer was talking to me on the way in. She was talking about some of the things that are happening in our lives and some of the things that have happened in my life. And these good things wouldn't have happened in my life if I hadn't found a good thing. Amen.
That's right.
And obtained God's favor. So we're grateful today, bringing you greetings from Hope Everlasting Ministry, where the hope of the Lord is in his hymn. As Pastor Gabriel said, we're up on the other end of Happy Hollow. But we're so grateful to be here with you today. I met Pastor Gabriel during Thanksgiving week last year as we were planning for the citywide Thanksgiving service here in the city of Trustville. And immediately he was just super kind, just so nice. And I just knew, I said, man, me and this guy, we have a kindred spirit. And when we came back together for a fellowship there on the property at Hope Everlasting Ministry, I knew immediately that was indeed a connection. So we're grateful to be here. And just as we're here with you today, real soon you'll be with us at Hope Everlasting Ministry. Amen. So we're grateful to be here, grateful to have the online audience with us today. I want to take a few moments of your time today. The way I preach, if you say amen, we'll move it along a lot faster. You give me a wink and a nod, that may add a few minutes. But if I get an amen, we may just kind of move on a little bit. Amen. Amen. There you go. There you go. Only thing standing between us and Cracker Barrel is your amen. Amen. So we're grateful to be here today. Well, today I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about the need for evangelism. The need for evangelism. If there's never been a need for evangelism ever in our times, now is the time. We have people that have speculated over and over again why we are in the times that we're in. We've had people to say that COVID-19 is here to get people outside of the walls of the church. We don't know that. We've had people to say COVID-19 is here to expose the evil in our society. We don't know that. We've had people to say COVID-19 is here because this nation needs to turn from its wicked way. We don't know that. We've had people to say that COVID-19 is here to cause the church to be different than it's ever been before. People have said that church will never be the same again. We don't know that because we don't own the church. We didn't birth the church. The church belongs to God. The church is God's bride. God owns the church, and with him owning the church, he can determine what church will ever be. One of the things I've heard people say is church will never be the same, and I don't have to attend church to be a part of church. Well, if you want to believe that, you can believe that if you want to, because here's the thing. I believe what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 10:25, the Bible tells us to forsake not ourselves, the assembling together with the saints, which has become the habit of some as we see the day drawing near. If we don't know the day is drawing near, you really need to check your pulse, because the day is drawing near and there is a need for fellowship amongst the saints. But one of the things that's so needed today is having the heart to evangelize. Right. Having the heart to go out and tell somebody the good news that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is not an antiquated thing. That is what we ought to be doing. That is what we are called to do. I've been teaching on Wednesday nights, and I'm preaching already. I just need you to help me. I've been teaching on Wednesday nights about understanding the need to produce fruit. I understand now that there are so many people who spend so much time coming to the end of the year, going into the next year. They spend so much time wanting to know what my purpose is. I just need to know my purpose. I need to know. And oftentimes what we find is people have mixed up their gifts with their purpose. The purpose of the believer is always to produce fruit. The purpose of the believer is not only to produce fruit, but the purpose of the believer is to make disciples. And when we find ourselves producing fruit and making disciples, then our gift will make room for us. See, we want to exercise this thing the way we want to do it, but you have to understand that principle always comes before promise. Principle has to come before promise, and if principle comes before promise, we'll see God fulfill every promise in our lives, and the goal of the believer is to produce fruit. But we can never produce fruit without the heart to evangelize. One of the greatest evangelists that we see in Scripture, we don't talk about him a lot, but we tend to talk about Stephen more than we talk about him in Acts chapter 6, when they appointed the seven to be over the business of the church, not to run the church, but the ones that would serve tables. When they began to introduce them to everybody, they talked about this guy, Stephen, in Acts chapter 6, verse number 5. They immediately said, and when they approved, they said the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And oh, by the way, they chose Philip as well. He was one of those who they chose. He was an old, by the way, guy, but there's something about Philip that not even Stephen has. Stephen, yes, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, he preached with power, but there was something about Philip that when I began to think about this message today and the need for evangelism, when I began to think about a guy like Philip, Philip had the heart of an evangelist. He had not only the heart of an evangelist, but he had the passion to evangelize. He wasn't a guy who was so focused on being stuck in one place, but he had the heart to evangelize. And so today we're going to spend a lot of time in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to work through Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through right around the end of the verse. Well, I'm not going to go through every verse, but I'm going to work out some things within the text. One of the things we talk about at Hope Everlasting Ministry when we do our ministry development, we talk about three aspects of what we do with regard to sharing the Word of God. Number one, we examine the text. Number two, we observe the text. And number three, we make application of the text. And when we examine the text, we observe the text. And after we observe the text, if we bring you into the observation of the text, what ends up happening is you're able to now make application of the text and understand how needful the text is for your life. And so today we're talking about the need for evangelism. And if I had to create a subtopic for this particular sermon, there's a need for evangelism, even if it's just one. There's a need for evangelism, even if it's just one. But there are some indications that we have to see with regard in knowing whether evangelism is actually taking place. The definition of the word evangelism, I think we have it on the screen. In Christianity, evangelism is the commitment to or act of public preaching or ministry of the gospel with the intention to share the message and teaching of Jesus Christ. So in essence, evangelism is about sharing the gospel. The gospel in the Greek, that word is the euangelion. It is our responsibility to go out and share the gospel. But there are clear indications of what an evangelism is actually taking place. If we look into Acts chapter 8, and we're going to work through those that verse number 4, the first observation that we gain with regard to evangelism is evangelism, it creates unity. not division. Can I show you how it creates unity and not division? If you take a look in Acts chapter 8, verse number 4, it says, therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. In other words, they was not so concerned about not being in a particular place to preach the word. They were concerned about preaching the word of God where they were sent. An evangelist is never concerned about the platform or the podium that they're preaching behind, but they're more focused on preaching the gospel wherever they're sent. They're sent, they may be scattered out, but you got to remember Romans chapter 5 teaches us that the word of God has been placed in our heart in order to go out and reach others. So therefore, what evangelism does, evangelism promotes unity and not division. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching not themselves, but they preached the word. Here it is in verse number 5, it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Watch this. And he began preaching and proclaiming Christ to them. Verse number 6. Here's the unity and not division. It says the crowds with one accord. Watch this. They were giving attention to what was said by Philip. So not only does evangelism bring about unity and not division, evangelism brings us into a focus into what God's word is said. What evangelism does, it builds our faith because our faith comes by hearing. And when we take time to hear what God's word says, our faith is built up. And when our faith is built up, it will take us to a place where we become people who unify people together. We don't create division through evangelism, but we create unity through evangelism. It said the crowds were with one accord. Watch this. And they gave attention to the word that was being preached by Peter. The Bible tells us that the steadfast mind that he will keep in perfect peace. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3, he says the steadfast of mind he will keep in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on him. See, what happens is we can't have unity today because we're so focused on everything that's going on in the peripheral. What God is trying to tell us is that the body of Christ, the church of the living God, has greater responsibility today than we've ever had before. The church of the living God today has to have the responsibility of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, he brings us into a place of unity, being on one accord. The church, y'all not talking to me. The church of the living God is at its best when the church is in one accord. Y'all remember what happened in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were all in one place. They had all things in common. And when they were all in one place and they had all things in common, the Bible says that the church began to expand. See, if the world is ever going to change, the church has the responsibility to change the world. Here's what keeps happening with us. The world is changing us, and we're not changing the world. Oh, my God, you got to get that. The world is changing us, but we're not changing the world. If we're going to change the world, we've got to evangelize the world and not adapt to the world. The Bible teaches us, the Bible says, to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when we get to the place where our mind is renewed, we'll find ourselves literally transforming the world. Evangelism, it brings about unity and not division. Evangelism also brought about the evidence of God's ability through the proclaiming of the word of God. See, when we evangelize, oh my God, Pastor Gabriel, when we evangelize, there ought to be some evidence in the evangelism that we said we have. Bible teaches us in Mark chapter 9, the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. Bible says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Bible says that they shall speak with new tongues. In other words, I should be able to be in the world and not be of the world. Am I making sense? I ought to be able to be in the world, but yet I'm not saying what the world is saying. We've got to get to the point where we're not saying what the world is saying, but we're saying what God is saying. And when we say what God is saying, that is the evidence that evangelism has taken place. Bible says in that same verse number 6, Acts chapter 4, it says, and they heard and saw the signs which were being performed. What were the signs that were being performed through evangelism? The signs that were being performed through evangelism, it was deliverance and healing. Mm. It's funny that deliverance came before healing. Let me show you what happens. Here it is in verse number 7. It says, for in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame, watch what happened to them. They were healed. You cannot have healing when there is no deliverance. Mm. There, you cannot have healing when there is no deliverance. Can I tell you why? Because in most cases, the healing that you need is directly associated with a sin that you have. Wow. Ooh, Lord Jesus, I feel the Holy Ghost. Most times, the healing that you need is directly related to a sin that you have. Somebody says, show me that. I don't believe you. Here it is. I'll show it to you. If you notice in scripture, Jesus always dealt with the sin issue before he healed someone from what was brought about by sin. Here it is. It's in Luke chapter 5. If you want to take some time to go back and look at it, Luke chapter 5, starting at verse number 20, he says, seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, aware of their reasoning, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your heart? Which is easier to say your sins have been forgiven or say get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic man, I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher and go home. Immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been laying on and went glorifying God. Can I tell you what was going on with the paralytic man? When you begin to evaluate this man, study his life, go back and examine scripture with regard to what's happening with him. He had what was called the symptoms of sin. When Jesus dealt with the young boy when he came over to Gennesaret, when he began to deal with him, he had to deal with the sin issue before he could deliver him. And see, most people need to be delivered before they get healed. Because if you don't get delivered, what's had you bound by sin is something that you'll always have. You've got to get delivered. And that's how God operates. That's how we know when evangelism is taking place, when deliverance happens. When we have this need for evangelism and just one is all that we need to touch, there's a next move that happens. If you move down with me in Acts chapter 8, evangelism, not only does it bring about unity, not only does it bring about healing and deliverance, not only does it bring about us being on one accord, not only does it dispel all the things that are going on in the world, but evangelism leads us to a place of discipleship. It leads us to a place of discipleship. We find this in Acts chapter 8, verse number 29. Now, you got to understand, evangelism takes you out of your comfort zone and move you to a place where you're uncomfortable. Evangelism will move you from a place that your growth will happen, because growth starts at the end of your comfort zone. Most people cannot evangelize because we want to be in a comfortable place. Right. A comfortable place is not where evangelism is going to take place. Right. Evangelism has to be something that leads us to a place of discipleship. When Philip was at this particular place in his life, if you go back and study through Acts chapter 4, you will find that Philip had a thriving ministry. He was seeing people being healed. He was preaching the gospel and people were coming to be saved. If you look through those verses of scripture, you'll find the life of Simon the sorcerer. When Simon the sorcerer saw them laying hands on people, they were being healed. Simon the sorcerer, he said he believed, but he also had a problem. He thought he could buy what only God could give. He said, I want to buy some of that. And they had to deal with the sin that he had before he could really get delivered. He was saved, but he needed to be delivered. He was saved, but he still had a sin issue. He was saved, but the sin issue held him up from being delivered. And so because he had to be delivered, so Philip now has a ministry that is thriving. Simon the sorcerer now believes. Many others were now believing. But notice what happens in the growth of this ministry. The angel of the Lord stepped in, Holy Spirit steps in. It says, Philip, now it's time to go. Now, you know what would happen. We got 8 acres here at Gateway, 8 acres of land here at Gateway. 8 is the number of a new beginning. You know how we'll try to justify being where we want to be. God builds it all out. And he says, Pastor Gabriel, now it's time to leave. Pastor Gabriel said, wait a minute now. That wasn't a part of the country. We didn't talk about that. But notice what's happening to Philip. God takes Philip from a place where his ministry is thriving. There is evidence of his ministry. And he says, now, Philip, I want to send you to just one.
Wow. Right.
Lord Jesus. I want to send you to just one. I want to send you to Sam's when you wanted to go to Publix. Can I just come where you live?
Come on.
Can I come in your driveway? You mind if I ring the doorbell?
Come on.
Sit at your table. Let's eat a little while and talk. I want to go to Publix. But God said you need to go to Sam's. No. I don't want to go to Sam's because Publix got the BOGOs today. He said, I need you to go to Sam's. There's just one. Most times we think ministry based on the size of ministry. Oh, God, thank you, Holy Spirit, is the effectiveness of ministry. The size of ministry is not always the effectiveness of ministry. The effectiveness of ministry is whether you can take what's on the inside of you, empty you, and deposit it into somebody else. Can I show you how Philip does that? Acts chapter 8, verse number 29 through 31. Here's what it says. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Philip, watch this. Notice Philip's response. He didn't hesitate. He had a heart for evangelism. It says that he says, Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Discipleship cannot happen sitting in the sanctuary.
Come on.
Oh. That's good. Oh. Yeah. Listen. The sanctuary is a good place. Even David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. David was excited about going into the sanctuary, even when he was in some of the most difficult places in his life, when he was wondering why people who were evil were prospering. But then he came back and said, but when I came into the sanctuary of God, I was reminded of their end. There's something that happens in the sanctuary. The sanctuary is a place of preparation, not a place where we park. Too many times we park in the sanctuary and not understand that the sanctuary is a preparation place to evangelize people who need to come to know who God is, even if it's just one. Discipleship cannot happen by sitting in the sanctuary. Discipleship cannot happen without us responding in faith to the commandments of God. When the angel of the Lord said, go, he didn't hesitate. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that he ran. He ran to the chariot because his heart responded to what God said. Bible teaches us in Matthew 28, verse number 19 and 20, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. When God says go, we must respond in faith. Too many times we ponder and we park wondering, is it the voice of God? When there's a soul at stake, it's always the voice of God. Hallelujah. That's it, sister. I felt that too. When a soul is at stake, it's always the voice of God that says, go. Jesus said it himself to the disciples, but he sent his spirit to deposit it into Philip. And he said, go, because there's just one that you've got to talk to. Not only does evangelism bring about unity, it brings about this oneness. It takes us to a place where we have the heart and the mind to disciple people. And then it moves us from evangelism to discipleship. And then it takes us to salvation, because even if it's just one. No. Somebody else's testimony is thousands of souls came to the Lord by hearing their voice. But here's what you have to understand. Thousands of souls came to the Lord by hearing their voice, but they didn't do it all, because the Bible says one man planteth, another man watereth. Ah, God, but it's God that gives the increase. You don't know which part of the three that you're going to play. Well, the two, because you can't play the third part, because the third part is observed to him. You don't even know the part you're playing. Your chest is stuck out because somebody gave their life to the Lord because you said something to them. But what you don't understand is you may have just been water because somebody else planted. My God, you don't understand that somebody else's parents have been praying and teaching them, because the Bible says that raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. As then salvation comes. You got evangelism, observation of discipleship. Here's the observation of salvation. Let's talk about it. Verse number 34, Acts chapter 8. The eunuch answered Philip, please, and said, please tell me, who does the prophet say this, of himself or somebody else? Here's the blessing. Now, you got to understand, discipleship, God is going to put somebody in your life. He said, how will I know what the scripture is saying unless somebody guides me? Oh my God. Can I give you a revelation? You are the answer to somebody's prayer.
Come on.
When you have the heart to evangelize, you become the answer to somebody's prayer. When you have the heart to evangelize, that leads to discipleship, that leads to you being a key person in guiding somebody's life, you become the answer to their prayer. Somebody has got their buggy in the grocery store and they're on the brink of disaster because they're wondering, do I hear from God or am I hearing from the enemy? And they don't understand how to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the will of God for their life. But it's your voice that God assigns to their life and guides them down the path of righteousness to a place, I'm almost done, to a place of salvation. The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or somebody else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning from the scripture, he preached. Ah, they're caught up. He preached Jesus. No, y'all didn't get that. Y'all act like he preached some eisegetical text, but he preached Jesus. The apostle. See, if you ever want to know what to preach, I'm gonna act on behalf of my good friend, Pastor Gabriel Wright. I'm gonna give you license today to go preach.
Come on.
If you want to know what to preach, preach Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't get it. Your testimony is good because the Bible says, "And we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." The blood is his word. His word is his blood. And if you preach Jesus to somebody, hallelujah, glory to God. He said he opened his mouth and, beginning from the text, it's in the Bible. We don't have to make it up when we go from the Bible. Last time I checked, the text says scripture is capitalized. So scripture is Jesus. Jesus is scripture.
Right.
He preached Jesus from Jesus.
Yeah.
The Bible says,
yeah.
And the word became flesh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. And it dwelt among us.
Right.
He says he opened his mouth. Evangelized from the scripture, he preached Jesus. Can I tell y'all something about salvation? Whenever it's about Jesus, a result will come. Whether you see it or not. I don't have to see it to know if somebody gets saved. Because if Jesus is planted, somebody's going to respond. But it starts with me opening my mouth and preaching Jesus. Let me keep going. I got to go. Here it is. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And they went along the road. They came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe," hallelujah, "that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Hallelujah. That's great news. Evangelism moves us from evangelism to discipleship to salvation. The Bible teaches us in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, "And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." When Jesus' name goes out, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every tongue, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And after the salvation, and I'm done, comes the celebration. Hallelujah. Philip does his assignment. After they came out of the water, because you know Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel." Now, the gospel, the euangelion, is now leaving where they are And now it's going to Ethiopia. You didn't get it. The gospel can go places when you plant it. When you share the gospel with someone in trustful, they may be going to Chattanooga.
Come on.
Once they get the gospel and they give their life to the Lord, they ride up 59 and they stop at three exits along the way. And they tell somebody about Jesus along the way.
Wow.
And it keeps on going, because when they tell somebody at exit 12, somebody at exit 12 is going to go home and tell somebody else about Jesus. And now Jesus and the gospel is going into all the world, and from the salvation comes celebration. And here it is. Here's the celebration. Acts chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no longer, but went on his way celebrating.
Come on, that's right.
Can somebody celebrate Jesus?
Come on.
No. You're not celebrating him like you saved. I'm talking about if somebody shared Jesus with you. Come on. Come on, somebody celebrate Jesus today. The Ethiopian eunuch went to Ethiopia and told somebody else about Jesus. And through his celebration, they celebrated Jesus. I pray that this message has been a blessing to you today. Pray that somebody will hear it, take it, build on it, so that their faith will grow. In Jesus' name, God bless you all.